In our readings this week in our one-word devotional book, the word was inspiration. And my mind went back to TV commercials when I read David Morse comments. And some of you can finish this statement: when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. And my mind went back to even this picture. That's black and white, and I hope it's not black and white in my memory, but maybe it was a black and white television. That there's this hustle and bustle of activity, and these two men in the center are talking about stocks and bonds and all that, and my broker's E.F. Hutton. And what E.F. Hutton says, and everybody just stops in their tracks and turns in and listens. When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. And I love the application that David Morse made. When God speaks, He wants His people to listen. There's a statement that Jesus makes several times. We read about it in the gospel accounts. He who has ears, let him hear. And you'll also find over and over throughout Jesus' teaching, He'll say, "Behold." Some versions translate it, "Listen." And he's saying, "Pay close attention. Listen to what I'm saying." Notice that when God speaks to us, He wants His people to listen. And God speaks to us through His Word. We have His Word recorded for us. God speaks to us through His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, says Romans 10:17. And inspiration has everything to do with this. The word inspiration is only found one time in Scripture. And that's in the King James, the New King James. I think in the King James Version it's used twice, but New King James only once. And in some other versions, it's translated differently. I notice when Ross read 2 Timothy 3, that's the passage that it has, New American Standard has the word inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration. The only time that word is used, even in the original language. A very unique word. You break the word down, there's theos, which means God, and this root word, which means breathed or breathing. You put it together, what this word means, all Scripture is God-breathed. When we read Scripture, when we read the Word of God, we need to understand it is the Word of God. God used people to write it. He inspired the writers of our Bibles. But when He inspired them to the point where when we read Scripture, we need to understand this is from the mouth of God. It is God-breathed. 2 Peter. Peter refers to this idea of inspiration. He says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit guided the writers of the Scriptures. They used their word bank, I like to say. And so we can see different personalities in the writers of the Scriptures. But yet the Holy Spirit carried them along, moved them in revealing and writing and speaking the very words of God. When God speaks, He wants His people to listen. But I want to look at a corollary of that. When God speaks, folks, we need to listen. We need to listen to Him. And the way I want us to kind of emphasize that is by considering looking at God's Word this morning as God's roadmap. God's roadmap. One of my primary uses of my smartphone is the map. I've gotten to where I've learned that on this map app, you can just plug in the name of the place, and a lot of times it'll give you the address, and then I just press start, and it'll verbalize the instructions. And most of the time, it gets me where I want to go. Sometimes, it doesn't. And there's a point there that I'll come back to in a moment. But folks, God's Word is our roadmap to lead us to heaven. And as you... the Bible is God's GPS. The Bible is God's positioning system. It directs us where He wants us to go. And folks, He wants each and every one of us to go to heaven. But we've got to have His Word and follow His Word to get there. Some things related to this idea. Number one, we must use the right map. We must use the right map. And that presupposes the fact that we need directions. We need directions. Listen to these passages. Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah the prophet is saying, we don't have enough knowledge, innate knowledge, to direct our own steps. We don't have enough knowledge to live life the way that God intends for it to be lived. We need His direction or we're going to be lost, literally. Isaiah 53 tells us why we're lost. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that, in Isaiah 53, it's a prophecy concerning Christ. And it shows why Christ had to die for us, because we've turned our own way. We've sinned. We've turned away from God. We've sinned. We've gone our own direction thinking, this is the way I need to go. But that has led us to sin. And that's why Jesus had to die on the cross for us. And going our own way, this verse comes to mind. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I thought that was the right way. How many times have we said that? I thought it was the right way. And it ended up being wrong. By the way, this passage, this statement, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. It's repeated. I took a note. Well, some of us need a reminder. Some of us, especially who don't like to follow directions, maybe that's why this passage is found twice, Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We need to follow the right map. And the psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I love the way years ago I saw this passage broken down. God's word is profitable, number one, for what's right. It's profitable for doctrine, that is teaching. We want to know what's right, that's why God gave us His word. It's profitable for what's right. It's profitable, secondly, for what's wrong, for reproof. And reproof is a rebuke. God's word instructs us not only what's right, but also tells us when we're doing wrong. And thirdly, God's word is also profitable for getting right, for correction. It identifies us, it stops us in our tracks when we're going the wrong way, but it also shows us the right way to go. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable, number four, for staying right, for instruction in righteousness. You want to know the way to go and the way to continue to go? That's the function of God's word. For not only correcting us when we're going the wrong way and showing us the right way, but instructing us in how we continue to follow that straight and narrow road that leads to life. Matthew 7:13-14. It's also profitable for equipping us to do what's right. Notice Paul says that the man of God may be complete. And the idea is complete, mature, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to be equipped for everything that God has instructed us to do, we need to be students of the Word. God's Word equips us to do everything that is right. We've got to follow the right map. Secondly, there are many maps, but there's only one correct one. It kind of goes back to what I said earlier. Sometimes in following the map on my phone and listening to the lady on my phone, sometimes she has led me astray. She has gotten the incorrect information. Folks, there's only one map that'll lead us to the correct destination. This is an old essay but filled with meaning today. The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, its decisions immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains the light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Christ is its subject, our good, its design, and the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given to you in life, will be open in the judgment, and will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and condemns all who trifle with its holy precepts. That's a lot of words, powerful words about the importance of the Scriptures. If you're on Facebook, I'm going to post this on Creekwood's Facebook page so you can read it more, digest it, take it to heart. We got to follow the right map. As I was looking for a background for the PowerPoint, I saw a Bible in one picture with the words scribbled in dust on that Bible, "Read me." I found that picture convicting. Read me. All of us own, I'm sure, at least one copy of the Bible. I don't know how many copies of the Scriptures I have. In different versions, different translations, probably some different languages that I cannot read. But do we open it up? Do we allow it to guide our way? Have we been students of the Word? Because thirdly, this map cannot assist us until it's consulted. We can carry it around with us. We can make sure it doesn't have any dust on it. But unless we open it up and pour over the words, the God-breathed words, it will not fulfill its function in our lives. It must be consulted. Secondly, we must interpret the map properly. Every map has a legend, a map key that explains the symbols used on a map. Always when I'm looking at a map, I always want to find which way is north. I was out in Deer Park, Alabama. Some of you, I know the Powells know where Deer Park is. We were at a cemetery in Deer Park, Alabama, and we were directed after Miss Elsie's funeral to go meet the family at Shiloh Baptist Church, which was also in the vicinity. I didn't know what vicinity it was in. And so what did I do? I pulled out my phone and put in Shiloh Baptist Church, and it directed me, and the first words from the lady on my phone were, "Head south." And I was looking around, okay, which way is south? Which way is south? And then I didn't remember until this morning that I also have a GPS on my smartphone. I didn't consult it. I did find it once I learned which way was south. But every map has a legend. Every map must be interpreted properly. It's important to interpret the map of God's Word properly. Let me give you a couple of passages that indicate that. The Apostle Peter wrote about untaught and unstable people who twisted the writings of Paul as well as the rest of the Scriptures to their own destruction. They took Paul's writings, Peter says, some of which were hard to understand, but they twisted them, they wrested them, they misinterpreted them to teach never what Paul intended. It underscores how the map must be interpreted properly. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing, handling aright the word of truth. It must be handled properly, which means interpreted properly. I've always found this poem of rules and of interpretation to be helpful. It shall greatly help thee to understand Scripture if thou mark not only what is spoken or written, but of whom and to whom, with what words, at what time, where, with what circumstances, considering what goeth before and what followeth. That's an old language, but it's so true. Do you realize your Bible says, curse God and die? And that's given in the imperative. It's an instruction. It's a command. Curse God and die. Well, is that what we need to do? If you look at it in its context, who said it? It was Job's wife. And I believe she's trying to put Job out of his misery. Job is suffering intensely, and his wife is looking at him suffering intensely. And I think she's saying, well, why don't you just get it over with? Job, curse God and die. Well, was that intended to be instructive for you and for me? Absolutely not. How do we know that? Because we got to look at who's speaking, when, what were the circumstances. We got to look at the context. Folks, the map of God's word must be interpreted properly, or it's going to be misapplied. We're going to be misdirected, and we're going to suffer the consequences. But thirdly, we must follow the map. We must follow the map. God's word will not help those who ignore what it says. If we don't follow the map, we're not going to know which way to go and how to get there. Be doers of the word, James says, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks, and the idea is peers, concentrated gaze, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one, which one? Not the forgetful hearer, not the one who ignores what God says, but concentrates, peers into it, pours over it, and continues in it, and does it. This one will be blessed in what he does. It will not help those who ignore what it says. And we must follow the map, not our own desires. Not our own desires. Not our own thinking. Well, I think this way is north. Well, what I think may not be the case. We must follow the map, not our own desires. God gave some tough instructions to Saul. And I believe it was God's rod of punishment upon the people of Amalek and their depravity. And God instructed Saul, go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Do not spare them. Kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. And those are hard instructions. And Saul is instructed to carry out these instructions. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, they utterly destroyed those things. Saul's obedience was incomplete. And because his obedience was incomplete, God was displeased with him. And through Samuel the prophet, he asked, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken, to heed, than the fat of rams. God would rather have us obey him, follow his map, than to devise some method of trying to please him. To obey is better than sacrifice. We must follow the map, despite the obstructions. And Satan, our enemy, is going to make sure there's obstructions. But we must obey despite obstructions. You may remember hearing about the newly licensed pilot. Brand new license, but as he was flying his plane solo, on this occasion it was a cloudy day. And he'd been trained, but still wasn't real comfortable by guiding his plane just using the instruments only without seeing what was around him. And because of the clouds, he couldn't. And so he messaged the control tower, and the control tower says, just listen to us and we'll bring you safely to landing. But he began to panic and says, but I can't see where I'm going. And then the control tower operator said to him in a stern but calm voice, you just obey the instructions. We'll take care of the obstructions. You just listen. You just do what I tell you, and we'll take care of the obstructions. I wonder if God is saying the same to us. You just do what I say. I'll take care of the obstructions. You see, to map out our course, we need heaven's roadmap. That's why it's so important to understand that the Bible is the inspired, the God-breathed Word. Because it is our roadmap. And this roadmap is going to lead us to Jesus. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. We must follow the roadmap. And the roadmap teaches us, in order to access that way, to go through Jesus to the Father, we've got to confess our faith in Him. That He is the Son of God and that He died for us. We've got to turn from our sins and turn to follow Him and walk in the light of His Word. And His Word teaches us that in order to be forgiven of our sins, we've got to be baptized into Christ as penitent believers to have our sins washed away. And then we're to continue to follow His instructions, and He'll take care of the obstructions. Just continue to do what He says. And when that's our aim, to continue to follow Him faithfully, the promise is that His blood will continue to cleanse us from our sins. 1 John 1 and verse 7. Are you following His roadmap? Do you need to obey the gospel this morning? Do you need to recommit your life to following, having turned in a wrong direction? The Word instructs us, when we've gone off course, to readjust, to turn from our sin, to confess it, and ask God to forgive. If that's the desire of your heart this morning, if you need to obey the gospel or to come back home, we extend the invitation of Jesus to you. Won't you come right now as we stand and sing?